The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Discover a team that's always here to support you at All Care, taking care of communities across Ireland.
Let's go to food now. And before we give you something for the weekend, I have a listen to this clip from First Dates on Thursday night, right? So this is what happened when Kieran from Dublin and Carla from Northern Ireland had a clash of culture, not about taters, but about spice.
I'm not a spicy person at all. Even spice bags are spicy.
What?
Spice bag. You know what a spice bag is?
No.
You're messing.
What's a spice bag?
Wow. Are you from Northern Ireland?
Yeah.
And you don't know what a spice bag is?
A spice bag?
That's mad.
Do you get it to cook at home?
No, like, spice bags, like, in the Oxford Dictionary. Like, a spice bag's a thing. See, that's a cultural issue.
Well, the good news for Carla is that you actually can make your own spice bag at home, and we will be telling you how in just a minute. Aaron Cappell is founder of Green Saffron and author of Fresh Spice, and he's, I think, a general authority on all things spicy. Good afternoon, Aaron.
Hey, Brendan, how are you doing?
Now, Aaron, before we get to, you're going to give us a few spicy recipes, a spice bag being one of them. Before we get to that, I didn't know this. You have this fascinating backstory that you were essentially were a major player on the acid house scene in London in the late 80s and early 90s.
You're very kind. Let's not overstate it, Brendan. But yeah, no, certainly. I was involved in that. I was really fortunate to be in the right place at the right time, enjoying partying and then getting involved with one of the big firms down there involved in, yeah, acid parties and putting them on. Yeah, fantastic times.
So I know you're understating this because I have details here. So did you start a record label? You're clearly trying to put your dishonourable past behind you, but let's dwell for a minute here. Did you start a dance record label when you were 18?
Yeah. When I was 18, I formed my first ever company. It was called Funky Peace Productions, as in sort of love and peace.
Yeah.
And it was a little
I can just see at the time a bunch of 18-year-olds going, Funky Peace Productions.
Yeah, that's good. No, I was really fortunate. I met a few guys with a couple of recording studios when I went down there. I was working in a restaurant, which is a really kind of cool and popular restaurant. And London in the sort of early 90s, mid-90s, was a real sort of cultural mixing bowl of excellentness and deliciousness. And I fell into the right place and, yeah, kind of got involved with that scene there, dance scene, yeah.
Brilliant. And then you also then went off to Ibiza and got involved in setting up club nights there.
We there's this phrase back in the sort of, I don't know, I'm showing my age here, but in the mid-90s, sort of having it. So we're having it in Ibiza and having it stateside. We're doing various compilation albums. Yeah, we did a few nights in Pasha there and we enjoyed ourselves, Brendan, certainly, yeah.
Yeah, I bet. And were you also involved kind of early on with the careers of people like All Saints and Sugar Babes and stuff?
Yeah, again, right place, right time. By that stage, I was with a whole bunch of sort of entrepreneurial guys in London running various bands, and I was cutting my teeth learning from them. And, yeah, I was lucky enough to be there, and the girls came up to me and people would just come up to you and you'd listen to stuff. And we were really fortunate with some of the acts that we found. And those were two of them, certainly. Yeah.
God, isn't it funny that we talk about this now? It seems so modern and everything at the time, but it feels like we're talking about the swinging 60s or something, that it was a bit just
Brendan,
ancient
I've been
history.
Doing, you're absolutely bang on correct. I've been doing the same recently. What with lockdown, you kind of reminisce and I'm going, flip, most people these days haven't even heard of the Sugar Babes or Saints. But you're right. It's bizarre looking back on it all. Yeah.
Yeah. So I presume that kind of thing has a limited lifespan then. And there's a certain point at which a young man needs to get out of that scene and head off to Ballymaloo.
There you go. Couldn't have said it better. I needed to see the light, shall we say. It wasn't the background that I was from, you know, this real sort of loving liberal upbringing I had with my Indian dad, my English mum sort of thing. So it was, yeah, you're right. For me, there's a time that came and I timed it right, I'd like to think. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And why Ballymaloo?
Well, do you know what? A friend had done it about sort of 4 or 5 years ago. And when I finished in the music industry, I had to sign a contract to say I wouldn't go back in for a couple of years. So I was kind of twiddling my thumbs almost, trying to work out what to do. But because I'd worked in restaurants, because I was fortunate enough to know a whole bunch of people in the food scene in London, one of my friends sort of said, oh, I did the Ballymaloe course. If you're into cooking, you should go there. Anyway, long and the short of it, that's how I ended up in Ireland. Yeah.
Okay. I love that you had to sign a non-compete form in the restaurant industry. You clearly were,
it sounds like
you were clearly a more valuable commodity than you're letting on. And well, and then ultimately you stayed down in East Cork and kind of settled there, did you? How did that come about?
Yeah, I just fell in love with the whole place and my Colin Durst, my wife now, well, my now wife, Olive. Ireland is such a... for me, it's been such a beautiful place to be in terms of the nurturing spirit and the whole adventurous spirit. And just the whole camaraderie that I experienced here was something that I wasn't finding in London anymore, certainly towards the end of my career within the music industry. You know, the dog-eat-dog world, which I know exists over here too. But in general, the whole... I just fell in love with the place and just felt so comfortable in Ireland. And I'm being really fortunate with progress here in Ireland. Yeah, it's brilliant, Brendan.
Yeah, and then you built this spice business kind of out of when you were working in Ballymaloe, I know. Listen, Irish people in general, I'd imagine we're quite open to kind of robust food and spicy food and new things, are we?
No, absolutely. I started this business with kind of no money. That was a part of the reason for coming over here with you know, is to start again and to sort of see if I could do it. And when I started on the market stall selling my 2 or 3 sachets a week, initially people would be saying, is it strong? Is it strong? Now, first of all, I didn't quite fully understand what is it strong meant. But yeah, you're right. When it started back in 2006-07, it was more about mild and introducing sort of exotic sort of flavors, spices, Indian food. But now, Brendan, you're absolutely right. There's been a whole, over the last 10, 15 years, sort of shift towards wanting to find something hotter and with more flavour. And to me, that's really encouraging that it's becoming more diverse of a palate over here in Ireland, you know?
Yeah. And listen, you've given us 4 really good recipes today, and we'll put them all up on rt.ie/Brendan. But we probably won't get through the 4 of them now, but you've basically done China, India, Mexico and Thailand. But I think we'll start, as promised, with your version of a spice bag. And there's a lot in it, but can you talk us through maybe the key things that people need to know?
You're right. And in essence, look, what is a spice bag? That clip, by the way, was so cool hearing that. It's I was introduced to spice bags when I first of all came to Ireland, the version down here in Cork. And I understand each region has their own version. In essence, it's chicken and chips. So fried chicken and chips. And because it probably has a Chinese bent originally from a Chinese restaurant, it has a Chinese seasoning, a Chinese spicing in general, but also then maybe some peppers mixed through it as well. So what I've done with my recipe is to just go a little bit, look, and you can do these things wholeheartedly or you can just take little bits from the recipe. But in essence, I've given the chicken a bit of a buttermilk bath just to sort of tenderize it. Then you're sort of putting it into a spiced crumb and deep frying it, you know, just for a few matter of moments, just so you get a beautiful tender bite. Then the chips, you can either buy from your local chip shop or indeed, you know, make chips as you would do normally. And I've gone over the top a little bit by taking pineapple because I love pineapple in sort of savory situations. So with pineapple, grilling that so you get a bit of a sort of a
bit of caramelization.
Brendan, you know the words. Very good. And and peppers. And then using the seasoning. It's the seasoning to me that is all important. So the seasoning that I've created for it is I'm suggesting, you know, is black pepper, coriander seeds, fennel, which has that lovely sort of licorice, anise-type flavour, and Chinese five spice, which is quite a sort of common blend you can find in most supermarkets and shops. Mixing that all around with a little bit of cayenne pepper to give it a nice little poke and a bit of salt, and that's your seasoning. So once you've created your fried chicken, your peppers, your pineapple, and your beautiful chips, sprinkle that seasoning over it and Bob's your uncle, spice bag.
Okay, or maybe even put, if you can have a paper bag at home, put it into it and shake it all around. Okay, and
even
listen,
better.
I mean, look, we're talking about this as being a Chinese cuisine. We should probably point out that I doubt anyone actually living in China has ever heard of a spice bag. But Sino-Irish or whatever you might want to call it.
It's funny you say that because I've actually just started to work with a brewery. You may have heard of it called St. Mel's Brewery.
Yeah.
So we're doing something with them on for a spice bag, working on ideas at the moment. So yeah, it's an Irish, a Hibernian Chinese dish, I'd say.
Exactly. And listen, okay, we've got 1 minute for chicken burritos and roast chili salsa. So the recipe will go up on rt.ie/Brendan, but just anything particular we need to know there?
Well, see, what's quite cool, I thought, with this one is that we're doing a bit of a twist on the salsa. So rather than just your usual coriander, avocados and red onions, what I'm doing here is suggesting that you scorch them either in the oven or indeed just over an open flame on your gas hob. So you're scorching the tomatoes and the chilies and the garlic. And again, that brings that lovely contrast of bitter notes into the salsa. And then with the chicken, it's essentially a few spices that are typical of Mexico. You're frying the chicken in that, only shallow frying, only gently frying, or indeed you could bake them for a healthier. Popping it into a flour tortilla, and then just grilling that tortilla to add again a bit of crunch. So it's a really delicious and healthy meal.
Excellent. All right, listen, Aaron, thanks a million. And listen, sorry for dragging you through your past there. I know you weren't expecting that, but I think people will have enjoyed that. Thanks a million, awesome. Aaron Campbell.
Brenda, thanks so much. Thanks.
See ya.